Hello, welcome to episode 4F09, Grade School Confidential, original air date April 6, 1997. I'm executive producer, showrunner Josh Weinstein.
I'm Gaffer's assistant, Matt Groening.
I'm Susie Dieter, the director.
I'm Bill Oakley, the other executive producer and showrunner.
I'm Rachel Pulido, the writer.
And if you hear odd sounds in the room,
it's not Maggie, it's James Oakley back for a second year of commentary after his stunning performance in 22 short films. He is, of course, the offspring of Rachel Pulido, writer, and Bill Oakley, showrunner.
That's right. And if you hear any sucking sounds, it's only the babe. Now, let's
That's
talk
kind of appropriate for this show, though.
This is a really sweet episode, and it's one of those ones where we really felt like, let's start exploring these other characters, like Krabappel and Skinner, and why the heck haven't they ever gotten together?
I recall that this was an idea that had been around since the Mike and Al days. Did you know that?
No.
This was,
I don't remember
the
that.
Idea of Skinner and Krabappel being in, sort of star-crossed lovers and being just right for each other. What had been around since, like, the early 90s, and I think we finally figured out the way to crack it with this story.
We're in orbit now. What's that? A call from the president?
Now, I want to say that Homer's actually a really good dad for giving them this crazy ride and making up the little space shuttle sign. And you should also, what you should do is you should listen to this episode without us yakking and listen to Homer's track as he goes along, because there's a whole little story about the space shuttle going on in the background.
And he's talking to President Nixon, and then he does a President Nixon impression. It's crazy.
Yeah, but we get an explanation.
Beautiful colors. Never has... Mayday!
Now, this is Martin's party. There is a deleted scene that you can watch that we're putting on that was really funny, where Martin comes up and welcomes Bart and Milhouse to the party, and it's very awkward and realistic, but we just didn't have time for it, so we cut it out. But there's probably a flashing button. Push it now.
Max, I'm just here to have fun like everybody else. Don't think of me as a teacher.
Okay. So,
That's what this was like, the offshoot of, well, originally in Sweet Seymour Skinner's badass song. We thought it was so, it's always so weird and awkward when you see a teacher out of a classroom, out of school. It suddenly seems like they're just a small, sad human being.
Or like when you come in when they don't think, you know, when they think you're out at recess and they're smoking or something.
That's right. We're just going to take escorting the baby from the room. This design, by the way, is, you can guess who it's based on, Bill Gates.
That 7 goes into 28 four times.
This is a magic 7.
What I like about this episode is it explores, it's often very painfully realistic and sort of sad, lonely lives of these two, and then it's very nice and sweet.
I don't follow you.
Oh, just sit down, Seymour.
Before I even started writing, I watched Bart the Lover, you know, maybe two or three times, which is one of my favorite episodes. I was told I could not copy it exactly, much to my disappointment. But I did, you know, there's something about the tone that I thought was so sweet. It was the episode where Bart finds out more about Mrs. Krabappel and the life that she really leads, and then tricks her into falling in love with a photo of Gordie Howe, basically.
How you imagined your life, Edna?
Well, yes, but then I was a very depressed child.
To poor decisions.
Hear, hear.
Seymour, I told you not to play in the neighbor's yard.
James Oakley has been escorted from the room after his last outburst. He won't be appearing on any future commentaries. His sister we brought instead. Much better behaved sister.
Until he's a writer in the 30th season.
That's it. Looking good. Getting warm. I feel queasy. Don't stop, Milhouse.
I never stop thinking about this every time there's a kid's birthday party, about kids barfing like this. Oh, it's terrifying. It's like that Stand By Me barf thing, like chain barfing, where kids start each other barfing, and it's like becomes this cascade of horrible... I don't want to watch it anymore.
Instead of oysters?
I'm ruined!
That's terrific.
No, but it took four ambulances to take all of his sick children away.
Bart, how come you're not sick? I gave my oysters to the cat.
We have a lot of people being carried away on stretchers in this show.
I do eat them. I thought you were a vegetarian.
Yeah, and they're like the World War One stretchers too. They're not the kind that paramedics normally use. They have the wheels and stuff. They're more like the ones that battlefield ones from the First World War.
I think we both.
We have that house, that playhouse, that exact one.
It's hot in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it smells kind of funny too.
Charming. Oh, well, I've always admired your tart honesty and ability to be personally offended by broad social trends.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
What I also like about this episode is the characters are extremely true to themselves.
Yeah. There are very few strange deviations for the sake of a joke.
You have a breath mint I could borrow?
I've got some menthol cigarettes.
Oh, the heck with it. Hmm. Oh.
I love that music cue. And this, that face, oh, I love it. Mwah. That was so beautifully done, Susie.
Thank you.
She's smoking in the dining room.
It did not seem crazy that there's a teacher smoking in school.
It didn't seem crazy that there were people smoking in the rewrite room. Yeah, that's what it was. It was crazy. It was the old days.
Who smoked in the rewrite room?
Schwarzwelder. Before we abolished it, that's why he stopped coming to work. You know that.
Did you abolish it?
It wasn't me who abolished it, but there was a certain attempt to have that smokeless ashtray for a while, and do you remember this?
Yeah.
And it didn't work, and Schwarzwelder didn't like it, and that's when he started working from home, and he did it for the next 10 years.
That's he used to have his special smoking chair.
Yeah, and he had his two packs of cigarettes in his thing anyway.
Well, you know the story of him in the coffee shop booth, right?
Yes, of course.
He used to write all his scripts in a coffee shop, and when smoking was banned in California, he moved the coffee shop booth into his house.
Well, this is a salute to you, John.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I remember that there was a smoking lounge at this school and stuff. Anyway, enough about the smoking. Let's talk about the episode.
Oh, now, there's a big discussion, remember, about the permanent record. Do you recall?
In this episode?
Yeah, no, while we were doing this.
No.
That we wanted to burst the bubble about the permanent record in school, because people are always talking about when you're a kid, at least when we were kids, you always heard about your permanent record.
Nobody cares what you did in elementary school.
That's right. That's the point. That's the exact point.
We're giving away a big secret.
There was a kid in my grade school who was put, he was so bad that he was put in the vice principal's office every single day. He had to report for a certain number of hours, and so he read everybody's permanent record. And I didn't find out until it was too late that you could buy a page from him. From your permanent record for a quarter.
What did it say in the permanent record?
I didn't find out about it until it was too late.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I always wondered whether they had stuff about your...
He got caught, by the way, going through the permanent records.
They had stuff about, like, your personal life and your, like, picks nose excessively and wet pants and things like that.
Seymour. Swallow.
I love that Caucasian Charlie Brown
candle. I had to act that out for the layout artist.
The
candle?
No, when she dragged her hand along the table she made her.
There's
move,
a lot of great, very seductive, nice acting on Mrs. Krabappel.
Thank you. I wanted
to casual. There's his casual outfit with his turtleneck.
Janie, Bothany.
The only way to survive a deadly blaze is. Oh, heck, life's too short for fire safety. Let's go outside and pick wildflowers.
Yeah!
Mark Simpson to the principal's office. Post haste.
I love when Harry does that little chuckle in the middle of his word.
Bart, so good to see you. I have a little favor to ask you. I'd like you to give this note to Edna when you get back to class. I don't think I have to tell you. It's for her eyes only.
Look at his handwriting. I love that. Would you have guessed it was a machine or something? Susie?
No, it was all handwritten.
Because there's very distinct, everyone in the show has distinct handwriting. Did someone specific always do Skinner, or did you just have a model book for his alphabet?
I don't remember doing anything like that. I just remember thinking, like, how would Skinner write? And he'd probably write the way the ABCs are up on above the chalkboard, you know?
Also, he refers to himself as Principal Skinner, even when he's talking to his lover.
Even in a MASH note.
It went just as we planned. Except they confiscated my thermos of cola at the door.
Oh.
Skinner, Krabappel, what are you two doing here?
Superintendent Chalmers.
Why, we're...
Why are those people sitting in the balcony?
field trip.
With a student.
Yes, he's...
Oh, I love Superintendent Chalmers. Then he's going to get to say his line, his Atlanta line.
I wouldn't build it up too much.
No, it says that it's the perfect type of movie. Furthermore, it got cut out in syndication.
Stop pushing me. What's going on?
Just enjoy the movie. It is Tom Berenger.
Poor Tom Berenger. Didn't deserve that swipe.
Here's the line.
You think they actually filmed this in Atlanta?
I don't know. I don't think it's important.
Bart's so right. Bart's so realistic in his episode.
You know, that line has been said so many times in my house, and for comic effect, every time, big laugh.
So I need you to keep her busy for a few hours while Edna and I sneak out.
Now, I remember that Rachel worked very hard on all the different cake things.
But you, because the Lady Baltimore cake is an accurately rendered Lady Baltimore cake, isn't that correct, Susie?
Oh, yeah, no, we actually looked in to see what they really looked like. The line that I get from this show that I say a lot is, no, I don't care for cake.
Too sweet.
At my age, I don't have much saliva left, so you'll have to lick my thumb before I can turn the page.
Oh, can I just turn the page for you?
No! But you can pick out any picture you want to take.
I love this scene. This is one of my favorite scenes in the history of the show.
That one, that's a coconut cake.
She is, she's operating in full form.
How many times do I have to tell you no talking?
That picture of Lincoln is very inaccurate.
Here, take this with you.
Mrs. Grabopple, Bart has...
Now, at this point, you really start to feel for Bart.
Yeah,
like, they're really taking advantage of him.
I think that this was not... This was one of the more successful attempts to cram in a Simpson character in the midst of a story that wasn't about the Simpson characters. Because you can feel why Bart does this.
Right, you'll notice, and we're going to talk about this in some other episodes as well, is we always felt, like, this is still like the eighth season, that you really need to relate it to the family, even though we love the secondary characters. So, but this one actually works organically.
Bart, you must promise not to fall in love with me.
Ah.
Now Martin's scoring on
yep,
me.
Yep, there you go. Martin really got a good one in there.
Everybody, follow me.
Nice angle there.
Now this scene.
This is the next cell that I picked.
Isn't this based on some movie, this walking along, knocking on doors, or is this a common thing?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
School dismissed.
Oh, I like that.
And then Bart opened the door, and Principal Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel were kissing.
Here comes another line that is said almost all every day at my house, which is the baby looked at you.
I was in the library at the time, but Janie told me that Principal Skinner and Bart's teacher...
See, we had to have Janie, her report Janie, because Lisa's so reliable, she would not make something up.
Oh, my goodness!
Wait a minute. Bart's teacher is named Krabappel? I've been calling her Crandall!
It's so realistic that Lisa doesn't know Bart's teacher's name, and he doesn't know...
Mrs. Krabappel and Principal Skinner were in the closet making babies, and I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me.
The baby looked at you? There you go. That's what I say after the baby looks at me.
Now, was this the first mention of her first name, Sarah? The only mention of it?
I think so.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to give you a choice. You can give up this tawdry, fulfilling relationship, or you two will be out of here so fast your mortarboards will spin. And where is your mortarboard, anyway?
Right here, sir.
This is when I learned what a mortarboard was.
So now, in the old days, professors and people in academics often wore mortarboards, but not all day. Usually, it's a ceremonial thing.
I want you out of the building by 3 o'clock. You're fired. Edna, too.
Well... It's going to be hard to say goodbye to all of you. We've had a lot of fun together. Nelson.
How many kids?
Marsha Wallace is so good in this.
Yes, I like when we give them a chance to shine, and she really did.
I think she was really happy about it, too. I think she also felt that it was about time that we got to see Krabappel and Skinner.
That's right, and just actually see more of Krabappel as opposed to just seeing her in the classroom.
I think this has been the first Krabappel-heavy episode since Bart the Lover in Season 3.
Your help made our love possible. I don't know what we'll do without you.
It was also nice in that it wasn't, you know, the typical, like, Krabappel trolling the bars. It was more
right,
like...
Right, she wasn't a slattern.
Chalmers told you to.
What are you getting at?
You spent your whole life following orders. From your mother, the army, Superintendent Chalmers. Just this once, man. Stand up for yourself.
Okay, Bart.
Let's go, Seymour.
Okay, Edna. No, wait. We're not going anywhere. I'm going to do what Bart should have told me to do a long time ago.
Attention, Springfield. We have barricaded ourselves in the school and are not coming down until our...
Now, again, we've talked about megaphone science, the recording of megaphone sounds. And again, we just used real megaphones because you can't recreate it, the sound-wise. And it's always fun when the actors get to do something different, like pick up a megaphone.
All right, people, we've got an escaped octopus on the roof.
There's a sequence coming up where Krabappel and Skinner are dancing, and it's one that is probably brought up to me more than any other that I've done.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. In fact, I actually get a little choked up with it, too. That and the Mother Simpson ending are the only two things that have actually choked me up from these years.
I wish the clouds weren't the same color as the school.
Bart, this is your father. Do you know where the remote is?
Now, during the actual record of this, the actors are passing around one megaphone, and you'll see there's a megaphone ad-lib that Dan did. Right there.
Yeah.
That's actually
that
a,
really
megaphone,
happened.
A megaphone ad-lib that Dan did.
Yep.
That was not in the script.
Fine. Stay in the school. We don't want you to come out.
You got it.
Damn. All right, boys, roll up the sound truck. We'll blast them out with music.
Now, this is based on when they are trying to blast out Noriega in Panama with heavy metal music. It's a military technique.
But here they chose a romantic song. It didn't work quite as well as the heavy metal.
Orlando Baeza did these poses. He's a avid salsa dancer, so I thought he was the right one. He was also the assistant director on this.
It's working like a charm.
Here it comes. This is great.
The power and hit him with the lights.
Yeah, this part is good. How did we come up with that thing with the colander anyway? Did you come up with that, Susie?
Oh, no, that was in the script. That was the one I had to figure out how to do it.
I'd been lost in the mist of time, I guess.
We just always knew there was a colander hanging there.
Yeah.
Well, I finally wanted to use it.
Really, the sequence came from the colander. It just sort of naturally evolved.
That is not the only colander joke we've had in the show. We've done so many episodes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, like we said, we want to explore the secondary characters.
Yeah, now they're down to the colander.
But I am a public servant.
Also, when I was watching this again, I was like, why are all those weird characters there? But then I realized...
They're all there for their jokes, right?
That's correct.
Who do you want to talk to first, the guy in the bumblebee suit or the one with the bone through his
head? I love you, Superintendent Chalmers.
Yeah, all right, just come on down.
He's the only realistic man. He knows how crazy it is that there's a guy in a bumblebee suit and a guy with a bone through his hair standing there in the middle of the night
the
watching
Eddie Albert
this.
Of the show.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have a first name.
Well, back in the very beginning of the show, we really did try to figure out for a long time whether or not Krusty would not be wearing his makeup off. You know, off camera and stuff, but now we just gave up, and
yep.
He's always in clown makeup.
And he's always coming, like, he's a big celebrity. Why does he come to these, you know, crowd gathering to watch an elementary school?
It was a good idea, Bart, that it's just...
Coming up is the best animation of a hot dog coming off a
yeah.
Nancy.
Oh.
So kudos to you, Susie, on that hot dog fall.
Well, hot dogs are funny. You can't miss a hot dog opportunity.
Pretty
especially
cute.
When somebody's about
wiggly
to say they're a
like
virgin.
One. Just the right amount of wiggly.
I don't think we're talking about love here. We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
Sex cauldron! Move that place down!
What are you people talking about?
My child told me you two were having sex in the school janitor's closet.
You know, making babies.
Yes, illicit sex.
Doing it.
Sordid public sexual congress.
This is absurd. I did not have relations in that closet, and the fact is I haven't...
Yes.
Seymour.
Now this
I think you'd better tell.
It's a wonderfully big, awkward moment that I remember when we were pitching out a story. We were really happy that we came up with. I don't remember whose idea it was, but it's just.
I haven't ever had relations.
But it makes perfect sense. It's like it was. You knew it all along. It doesn't feel tacked on. It doesn't feel. You know, oh, we'll make him a virgin for this episode. It feels.
Look at Krusty's face. Sorry.
You were waiting 8 years to do it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. It's. How would you have? Under what circumstances would he ever have had relations?
Anywhere, ever, would pretend to be a 44-year-old virgin.
Oh, that's for sure.
Now you'll notice the reference to a 44-year-old virgin.
I'll never look at him the same again.
That was more than I wanted to know.
Okay, well, Edna, Seymour, in light of these, revelations, I suppose we,
I think this is just as uncomfortable anyway as any other thing. This has probably caused a lot of uncomfortable conversations in homes across America where people say, Mom, what's a virgin?
Well, even Chalmers runs away.
I know. No one wanted to be present for the discussion.
I'm out of here. Skinny, Krabby, catch you later.
Hold on, Bart. May we have a word with you?
We want to thank you for helping us through a difficult period.
Oh, no problemo. So I guess now you'll be getting married or something, huh?
Well, actually, Seymour and I have decided to break up.
Huh?
We can't continue on like this, trying to build a private relationship in public, the whole town watching our every move with a fine-tooth comb.
I'm used to humiliation, but not in front of a crowd that size.
Oh, but you seem like such a good couple.
Now, when I was watching this again, I had forgotten the ending that's coming up, and I was like, oh, I can't believe we ended it where they broke up. And I was very happy that we had.
I was thinking that, too. I was like, oh, this is the one part I don't like, and then I'm like, oh, no, wait, no, it's good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good ending. It's very solid and it's sweet. They don't really have to make out in the closet now.
It's their place.
Yeah, but it's their spot.
They have memories.
It's very sweet.
And the smell of floor wax.
Yay.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's bring the baby back in now.
Yeah.
He's really angry.
I hope you're happy listening to this because you've made a baby cry for the sake of this commentary.
Yeah.
Wait, how did the audience make the baby cry?
By forcing us to come in here and be separated from our child.
Oh, okay.
To do this commentary.
Oh, I see.
He made the baby cry. I suppose it was worth it, and I hope that the Fox enjoys using the money.